is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, hoop heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Sean McDonald, boys varsity basketball coach at University School in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Coaches, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave next season to chance. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each summer to learn to think the game, lead a team, and run the show. Your players will be smarter, better leaders, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in your locker room. I've seen firsthand how PGC camps have had a huge impact on players and coaches that I know, both on and off the court. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a 5-day, 4-night camp near you. That's pgcbasketball.com. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klintzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. We are jumping on tonight to talk some NBA. We're going to buzz through the standings in each conference, talk a little bit about the potential playoff matchups, maybe spend a little bit more time focused on the middling middle of both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. We kind of feel like we're at least a little bit talked out at the top of each conference simply because those teams have kind of been there for the entirety of the NBA season. And so we're going to kind of talk a little bit of the middle tonight, Jay, as opposed to focusing as much on the upper echelon teams.
Yes, and I'm excited to talk about these middle teams, but Mike, we have to play our game.
All right, you got it ready?
Yeah, but it's a different game, Mike. I'm switching it up.
Wait, you changed the game.
I'm changing it a little bit. So I'm going to give you three names, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to give you three names, and these are all members of a playoff roster as of today. So if a team... And all these teams, I think, are firmly in the playoffs. I'm just they're at least guaranteed a play-in game. There's no way. So I'm going to say these names, and I want you to tell me if you could name what roster they're on. And I'm going to tell you two of these teams are top teams, Mike. All right? So that, I just changed it up for tonight because I was struggling to find starters.
So these are rostered players, not starters.
They are rostered players, not starters, Mike.
And you can
eliminate 11 through 15 in both conferences.
Okay. All right. That's fair. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
What are my odds going in? I think one team I feel like you'll get. The other two are questionable. However, right. I guarantee you've heard of at least one of the names on each of the team. I had to make sure that I chose one guy that I know that you've heard of on each team.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, that's fair.
Is that fair?
Sounds good.
Okay, I'm going to start with this one. Okay. Peyton Pritchard, Luke Kornet, and Jabari Parker.
That's the Boston Celtics.
There you go. Good. That was the one I figured you were going to get.
Pritchard was easy, and actually, what was the second name again?
Luke Kornet.
Yeah, I knew Cornette was on the Celtics now, too. Don't ask me how I knew that, but somehow I did know that.
Okay. There you go. One for one, Mike. This isn't the worst game. All right.
No.
Should we just stop now? I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about myself
okay.
right now.
Here we go. The next team, Jalen Smith, Abdel Nader, and Etuan Moore. I figured you've heard of Etuan Moore. I know I've heard of Etuan Moore.
And the Smith is a rookie.
Okay.
Correct?
Yeah, sure.
Or you don't know.
I can look it up. Hold on. I'll give you just give me a second. Roster. Smith, I would say based on his
He's not a rookie?
Jalen Smith?
There's a different Smith because I'm
the guy. It looks like he could be a rookie. Yeah, he looks like, he's 21 years old. He doesn't look like a rookie. If I saw a picture of him, I wouldn't say he's a rookie. All right. All right,
let me look closely at the rosters here.
We can't look at the rosters, Mike.
No, I mean look at the teams. I'm looking at the teams, not the rosters. I'm looking at the teams. Trying to figure this out. Etuan Moore. What team is Etuan Moore? He was on the Pelicans, but you told me I could eliminate 11 through 15, so he can't be on the Pelicans anymore. So I'm going to say, what's Smith's first name?
Jalen.
Jalen Smith. Let's go Etuan Moore. What team is Etuan Moore on?
Man. You were right. He was on the Pelicans last year. That's good.
Yeah. See,
you know, he's been in the league 10 years, Mike. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. He went to Purdue.
He's had a nice middling year career.
See,
he's had 2 years that he's been average double figures in points.
I'm going to go Memphis Grizzlies.
No, you're in the correct conference.
Okay. I'm going to go San Antonio Spurs.
You can get one more guess at it, Mike.
I'm going to go
Our listeners are loving the dead air. They're loving it.
Phoenix Suns.
That's the correct answer. There you go.
All right.
Phoenix Suns. All right.
All right.
The last one. First of all, this first guy, I love his name. It sounds like someone that you would play with at the rec center.
Okay.
Jay Scrub. That's literally his name. I'm not lying to you.
Nice. That's a good name. Jay Scrub. All right. Well, Jay Scrub, I do not know Jay Scrub, so he's not helping me to identify
Amir
a roster.
Amir Coffey and Yogi Ferrell.
Yogi Ferrell. So Yogi Ferrell was with the Celtics. And he was with the Cavs, right?
Correct.
Okay, so let's see. I think Jay Scrub. What team would pick up a guy named Jay Scrub? That's the question. I'm going to say that sounds like it must be the – let's go with the Wizards.
Nope. Wrong All conference. Right.
Okay, let's go with the...
I want to be clear here. Jay Scrub has not seen the floor this season, so please don't try to base this on...
Okay.
He is technically on the roster, though. He is
The Utah Jazz.
Nope.
All right, I give up.
Every player has played on the Utah Jazz because they've had injury. It's the Los Angeles Clippers.
All right. There we
go. I thought the Yogi Ferrell one you'd get because... I texted you the one night where Yogi Ferrell had dropped like 15 and 8 in a Clippers game, like with a bunch of players. I texted you right before I went to bed. I was like, Yogi Ferrell doing work. But yeah, I had one of a non-playoff team, but we'll save that for later.
That sounds like a good plan.
Rate that game. Would you like that game better or worse?
Game. No, that's,
like,
that's
that,
a good
that
game.
That one doesn't have as long a staying power because, you know, you can only really pick the three. I would pick the three players probably that, based on names, I didn't know. I mean, I knew them.
Yeah.
Like, I'd heard of Abdel Nader. I couldn't have told you what team he was on. I heard of Etuan
Moore. It's nice to have three names to go off of instead of just one. So at least there's...
And they may not be a starter, but I mean, not that Jay Scrub really helped you very much, but...
No, it didn't help me for sure.
All right.
Did not help me.
Based on that conversation, we're going to move to the Eastern Conference. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to start by talking about we're going to talk about where they're currently stand, this current standings. And obviously, these aren't finalized yet. But the current standings, and then after we talk about the current standings, we're going to pick a few teams that we want to talk about that we really haven't dedicated a lot of time to, because like Mike and I, before we started recording, talked about, like, we've really spent a lot of time in the East, for example, in the East, talking about the Nets and the Sixers and then Milwaukee. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about them tonight. We might mention them in conversation, but we're not going to spend a lot of time because we feel like we've talked ad nauseum about them. Right, Mike? Would you agree with that stadium? That statement
this
right
point,
there.
At this point, we're just waiting to get to the playoffs and see which
we're just
team,
spinning the hamster player, wheel again. I keep using that.
Which players are going to be healthy? That's really what that's it comes really down what comes to those three teams.
Exactly. So we're not going to spend time talking about them, but let me break down the Eastern Conference. We're going to say we'll say who's in the playoffs right now, the play-in game teams, and then the teams who have an outside shot of coming into the play-in game. I think we can officially cross off the Cleveland Cavaliers. That play last night, Mike, do you have any take on the Kevin Love play last night?
It was a strange play for sure. When I first watched it, I couldn't quite get the I was watching on my phone, so I couldn't quite get the context of exactly what happened. I'm like, which guy's Kevin Love? Because it was just such a small, and I'm looking at it on such a small screen.
You didn't have your glasses on, did you?
I might have. I might not have. Anyway, I couldn't. But seriously, the first time I watched it, I was like, what am I watching here? Like, I couldn't even figure out, like, okay, what's weird about this play? And then obviously you see it, and I don't know. I heard all kinds of weird explanations on Twitter, like the ref shouldn't have thrown on the ball from across the court, and he didn't see it coming, and he just was trying to deflect it, and all these different things. I don't know. I mean, Kevin Love has had some weird – he had the chucking the ball at Colin Sexton incident last year, I believe, right? Or was that 2 years ago? I can't remember now.
That wasn't 2 years ago. I think it was last year because it was although I don't really know because Love didn't play a lot of games last year, right? So I don't know. Yeah. I can't keep track.
Yeah, whatever. So he's had some weird teammate moments like this that I'm not sure exactly what it all means. Who knows? I mean, my take on it is it's a little weird. It's a little strange. I'm not sure what he was trying to accomplish there, but it was definitely an odd play that you don't see every day in the NBA.
It helped our lottery odds, right?
For sure. We want to get – I think speaking of the lottery, it looks like from everything that you're reading that you want to be in the top five. And the Cavs right now are sitting – we are tied now, I believe. Actually, we're a game –
we're in fifth, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if you can stay in that bottom five, I think your odds – of getting a top five pick stay pretty even across the board. Not to say that you're guaranteed a top five pick because you're not, but I think as long as you can stay in that bottom five, you're looking pretty good. Now the Cavs are going to be in a race because it's going to really come down to them in Oklahoma City. And I know you mentioned an interesting fact about the Thunder before we jumped on and their potential losing streak that was mentioned on the
it was thwarted tonight by the Boston Celtics.
Thwarted by a big win by the Celtics, for sure.
Yeah, the Celtics terrible, man. Ugh. I'm ready to cross them off. We'll talk about them in a minute, though. But anyways, the bottom of the East is terrible. The bottom of the West is terrible. We've spent enough time. Let's get into it. So we're gonna go the Eastern Conference. Number one right now is Brooklyn. They are the only team in the East that have clinched a playoff spot officially. Obviously, a lot of that's a formality, but Brooklyn's number one, Philly's number two, Milwaukee's number three. And I think those are we're in agreement. Those are pretty locked in at 1, 2, 3, right, Mike? Locked in.
There's one of those teams is going to be, they're going to be 1, 2, 3. I'm not 100% locked in on the order necessarily, although I guess if I had to put odds on it, I would think that the way they sit now is probably the way they're going to finish. Which obviously gives Brooklyn a huge advantage, because they're going to not have to face, you know, Philly or Milwaukee, whichever one of those two teams. If those two teams finish 2-3, then they're going to have to beat two out of those three teams. They're going to have to beat the other two teams more than likely to get to the NBA Finals, whereas Brooklyn will only have to beat one of them, which should be an advantage.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so then we get into the interesting thing here. We've got –
At number 4 and 5, with the same record, we've got Knicks and Atlanta. Knicks currently hold a tiebreaker because I believe, yes, because they're better in the conference, because it goes by conference as the tiebreaker. They're 22-17 in the conference versus Atlanta's 20-15. Then you got Boston at 6. They're currently tied with Miami, who, once again, they're actually tied in conference. So I think it goes to, I don't remember how what the tiebreakers are, and I did not prepare that. So anyways, Boston's currently 6. Then you got 7 is Miami, 8 is Charlotte, 9 is Indiana, and the Wizards. The Washington Wizards, who did lose yesterday, okay, but the Wizards, the team that I predicted to be in the playoffs, is finally looking like the team that I anticipated them being at the beginning of the season. I didn't necessarily think that Russell Westbrook was going to average a triple-double again, but that's the Wizards for you. So we'll kind of get – we're going to break down this. Let's start with the play-in game teams, Mike, just really quickly. Right now, sure. The matchups would be the 7-10 – or the 7-8 matchup to start would be Miami-Charlotte. I feel pretty good that Charlotte is probably going to be in that play-in game 7-8. I don't know if it's going to be Miami or Boston. I'm kind of hoping. I don't know. Did you listen to Simmons yesterday with Joe House? Did you listen to that?
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping for that. That's a dream scenario of mine. Boston plays Charlotte. Scary Terry and Gordon Hayward just go nuts. They beat Boston, and then Boston has to play the Wizards in the second game, and the Wizards knock them out. Wouldn't that be just poetic justice? I would really love that.
That would be fun. That would be fun. I'd love to see that happen to the Celtics. That'd be great. I'm all for that.
I know you wouldn't mind that. But anyways, do you think if you had to handicap it, Mike, do you think Miami or Boston is more likely to be in the play-in game versus the number 6 seed? Where is your standpoint right now?
Both of those teams are scuffling. I mean, they really are. And neither one of them has really found their footing this season for whatever reason. And you can point to injury. You can point to the length of the time Miami was in the bubble. You can point to the fact that some players aren't living up to maybe what people expected of them. It's just been a weird, weird season for both of those two teams. When you think about the Celtics, you think about Tatum and Brown and how good they've been. And yet, Boston is barely over 500. Kemba Walker's been kind of in and out of the lineup all year long. Marcus Smart was out for a while. Tristan Thompson has maybe been one of the bigger free agent busts in recent history. I mean, he's been.
Oh man, I'm really sad that he's not playing for us anymore, Mike.
He's been terrible. I mean, he has been terrible. Last night's game, I think he played 18 minutes. He had 5 fouls, and he had 2 points. And he started the game. He was obviously terrible.
That's a pretty good stat line.
That is not a good stat line. So I don't know what to make of either of these teams. If push comes to shove, I think I would take Miami to get out of the play-in and put Boston into the play-in. I do think if I'm Charlotte, I would much rather see Boston in that 7-8 game than I would see Miami. And I don't really know why I'm saying that. They have identical records, but something says that, in my mind at least, that I think Miami has a better chance of putting it together and then being able to make a run to get into the playoffs and then go into the quote unquote regular playoffs as the number 7 seed. So let's just assume, as the number 6 seed, and then Boston would have to battle with Charlotte. So I'm gonna go with that as the matchup, Boston versus Charlotte. If LaMelo's back, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a fun scenario. Let's go ahead and pick the Charlotte Hornets. And then in the Pacers Wizards game,
there's no way I'm taking the Pacers, Mike.
No.
There's zero chance.
No. I mean, I think you look at the Wizards, and granted, their roster is a little goofy and they haven't really been great all year, but they're 8-2 in their last 10. And if they're playing Indiana, arguably the Wizards have the two best players in the series, or the two best players in the game, right? I mean,
well, they definitely have the best two players in the game. There's not even question.
If you're a fan of big left-handed white guys, you can make the case that Sabonis
was Detlef Schrempf a lefty or no?
No, he's righty. He's a righty.
Oh, okay. I couldn't
Detlef
remember.
Was a righty. So anyway, I would pick, if it's Pacers Wizards, I would pick Wizards in that game. which would then leave us with Charlotte moving into the 7th seed and Boston playing the Wizards, which you mentioned as the Simmons dream scenario. Wizards, Boston, and I mean, that game's going to be in Boston. I still think that the higher ceiling team, based on what we've seen this year, is probably the Wizards. It seems crazy that you'd pick the Wizards in a road game against the Celtics.
They started 3-12, Mike. Like, if you take
right, look, I get it. They're 8-2, and like we said, even in that series, as good as Brown and Tatum have been, in a one game setting, would you rather have Brown and Tatum, or would you rather have Beal and Westbrook? I mean, at worst, it's a toss up, right?
Yeah, Mike. Listen, I'm just gonna say this much: the Wizards were 3-12 to start the season. You take away that after the first 15 games, the Wizards are 24-22,
which puts them squarely into the mediocrity of the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference. Which
yeah, and would you if you and me, Mike, we're sitting here watching, and I know it's inconsequential. Would you rather watch Boston play Brooklyn, or would you rather have Washington play Brooklyn? Does it matter to you? I know you don't like Brooklyn. So which would you prefer? I'd rather Washington.
I'd rather see Washington. Yeah, I agree.
Because listen, we know what Boston is. And we know what Wizards are to a degree, but it would be really fun to see Bradley Beal competing with those guys. And it would just be a lot of fun to have Kyrie and Westbrook just going at it, because you know they're going to go at it. Westbrook's going to just run someone over going 500 miles an hour, because that's what Westbrook does. And it would be interesting. Obviously, Brooklyn would win that series, but I think it would be an interesting and intriguing, way more intriguing than Boston. And I don't really want to watch Boston. I don't like them. So
I agree. I'd like to see the Wizards, and I'd like to see the Hornets make it in there. If those are the four, if my four play-in teams are Boston, Charlotte, Indiana, the Wizards, I would like to see Charlotte and the Wizards in there as my 7-8 seeds. So
I completely agree.
Which makes for some interesting matchups, depending on how things break out. I mean, if Miami gets up to the 6th seed and you have Miami and Milwaukee in the first round, that'll be an interesting first round series, especially after what Miami did to Milwaukee. Yeah, what Miami did to Milwaukee last year. Certainly, you would think on paper that theoretically they could do a lot of the same things that they did to the Bucks last year, although the Bucks are obviously much more multidimensional with Drew Holiday, and just on defense they can switch and do a lot of things differently maybe than what they did last year, as long as Coach Bud continues to kind of stick with that pattern of them mixing up their defensive coverages instead of just always dropping down, dropping their big man into the key on the pick and roll, and just trying to do some different stuff that will enable Milwaukee to maybe be a little bit more unpredictable when it comes to playoff basketball. And I think offensively they're going to be better. So that would be a fun series. I would, to be honest, that's one that I would really look forward to watching, just to kind of see the chess match between Spoelstra and whether or not Budenholzer is going to play chess or he's going to go back to his old checkers game. We'll have to see.
Yeah. What about, I think the intriguing matchup would be the Knicks and Atlanta. And here's why I think that would be intriguing. And I hope it stays that way. Just because these are two playoff teams that would be not have had any real playoff success. I mean, Knicks, when was the last time the Knicks were even in the playoffs? Mello? They had to be Mello, like 2013?
The Mike Woodson Mello year when they won 54 games, I think, was the last time that they made it.
And they didn't win a series. I'm like 99.9% sure on that. I don't know the last time the Knicks won a playoff series. I mean,
it's been a while.
So, and then you've got Atlanta, who obviously they had the LeBron James hurdle for all those years, and they were always a really good team, but they were never like the team that anyone really thought was going to come out of the East. Okay, I really think that this would be really huge for the NBA to have the Knicks in the playoffs and have Atlanta in the playoffs. And obviously I think they're pretty much locked at this point, which I know you laughed at me saying that the Knicks were locked. That was like, what was that, a month ago now, Mike? Maybe longer
I think they're
definitely locked. They're definitely locked now. They're locked and loaded. And here's the thing. Why do I think it's the biggest? Do I think it's going to be the best basketball that's going to be played in the first round? Probably not. But what it guarantees one of those two teams is going to be in the second round. Okay, it guarantees that one of these two middling teams that haven't had a lot of success in the last 5 years, and the Knicks going back even further, that their fan bases are going to get to watch them play for two rounds. One of the fan bases is going to get to watch them play for two rounds in the playoffs. More importantly, it keeps the Knicks-Nets round two option on the table. And I think that would be really exciting and really invigorating. And it would be really, really cool to see that happen. And I think it would be really fun to watch the Knicks beat the Nets. Not that I think it's going to happen, but I think it would be a lot of fun. And I've gone on record saying that I'm picking the Nets, and I'm still picking the Nets until I speak otherwise, and we'll get to that at the end of the podcast. But I think that would be a lot of fun to have a Knicks-Nets second-round series. What do you think, Mike? Knicks,
I like
Hawks?
I like the Knicks-Nets. I like the Knicks versus Nets, the potential of that being a 1-4 in the second round. The Knicks obviously have gone on a long winning streak, got snapped by Chris Paul and the Suns last night.
That last shot that Chris Paul made,
that was crazy. Yep. Yeah, that was a crazy three. You know, kicking his leg back and kind of fading away, and that was a huge shot. And that was the first time that after that I read some stuff online, you know, lots of people then starting to advocate, well, how come Chris Paul isn't in the MVP race? And when you think about where Phoenix is, they're one game out of having the best record in the league. And I know that Phoenix went on their 8-0 run in the bubble last year, so it's clear that they were starting to build something there last year. But clearly Chris Paul has had a huge impact on that team, and I don't think he's going to win MVP. I don't think he deserves to be the MVP, but you can understand where people are coming from who are saying, hey, this guy should at least be mentioned in the MVP race. But getting back to the Knicks, they went on that, what, 8 or 9 game winning streak, and nobody really saw that coming. I think even their most ardent supporters, yourself included, you more picked them to be a lock in the playoffs, not so much because you were a believer in the New York Knicks, but more because what else is around them, that who's going to jump up and take that spot away from them. And yet, when you look at what they've done, and it has to start with the front office, which has been quiet throughout the regular season. James Dolan, quiet throughout the regular season.
Winning cures a lot of problems, Mike.
It does. You hire Tibbs and
Coach of the Year.
There was a lot of whispers, or Nate McMillan.
That would be the whole Nate McMillan gets Coach of the Year after replacing a coach. There's no way they're going to give it to Nate McMillan. I'm sorry, Mike. It's not happening. It's going to go to Tibbs. It's either got to go to Tibbs, or it's got to go to the Phoenix coach, Williams, right? It has to go to those two guys.
Monty Williams? Yeah, I would say
one has to go to one of those two. I like your Nate McMillan just.
Nate McMillan could finish. He could finish third.
Oh, he could. He could finish third.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you who else should be in the conversation. Steve Nash. And we can all laugh as much as – and I personally, when you think about Brooklyn and the absurd amount of talent that they have when all their players are on the floor – but we all know that NBA coaching is at least as much about managing egos and personalities and making sure that it works. And as much as Brooklyn has had kind of a weird year from an injury standpoint and with Kyrie missing and stuff, you haven't heard of any internal dissension or things going on. And to some degree, I guess you have to credit Steve Nash for that. So it'll be interesting.
That would be the second award that he's won that he didn't deserve.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, look, he's not going to win it. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I'm referencing his MVP.
I know you. I know. So, I think, but it'll be interesting to see Nash long term, what kind of a coach he ends up being. It seems like, at least the initial reviews are that he's going to be pretty good as an NBA coach for as long as he wants to be that. So, Knicks, Thibodeau made a big difference. Come in, bring that franchise some stability. Get them to play hard every single night, play defense. You do those things and you're setting yourself apart from a lot of the teams, especially in the lower half of both conferences, just by saying we're going to compete every single night and we're going to play hard on the defensive end of the floor. So yeah,
and he somehow got like the 2011 Bulls that are still in the NBA all on the same roster.
Exactly.
And they're functioning. Like, Derrick Rose is functioning. I mean, Taj Gibson is actually playing and not playing like lots of minutes, but playing minutes, and he's actually doing something. Like,
but the real thing from a player standpoint is Julius Randle. I mean, everything stems from Randle.
Let's have
everything
this conversation. Randle. Julius okay. Randle, where do you put him on the all NBA teams, Mike? I think he's got to be a second teamer. I can't put him to first team. I think he's got to be a second teamer though, right?
Well, if you go through the list, right? So your forwards that are no-brainers, who are the forwards in your mind that are no-brainers? Giannis is your first team forward.
Paul George is your first team center. George count as a forward or a guard?
Forward, probably.
I would probably put George in there.
Okay. And so you put George in over Kawhi?
Well, Kawhi's missed a lot of games.
I'm just saying. It's a
72 game season, and he's played like 44 games or something like that. I can't put him on an all NBA team if he didn't even play like 75% of the season, right?
Yeah, I agree. All right, I'm gonna look. I'm just for curiosity's sake, I'm gonna load up both of those guys' stats.
Well, you can't. Don't tell everything though. You gotta look at how many games he's played.
I know. I'm just pulling up the Paul George versus. Versus Julius Randle.
Okay, Kawhi's only played 46 games, so he's out in my opinion. 46 games.
Okay. I'm getting to Randle here. In a second.
Julius Randle is 23.9, 10.4, and 6 rebounds or 6 assists. He's played in 61 games. I don't know how many games the Knicks have played.
61.
So he's played in every game.
He's played in every game. Well, no, I take that back because I'm looking at games played, games started is where he hasn't played. Yeah, he missed one game.
He missed one game.
Yeah.
He's missed one game. Okay. Paul George, on the other hand, he's played.
He's played 47 games.
Oh, so he's not that far ahead of
Kawhi.
Kawhi. Maybe Julius Randle does need to be a consideration for a first team because, like LeBron's probably not a first teamer at this point because he's missed so many games now. Which is crazy because 2 months ago he was in the MVP discussion.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you can put LeBron. LeBron is definitely not going to make first team All NBA this year. There's no way. I think Kawhi's case is better than Paul George's. Is better than Paul George's case.
Yeah, I think both those guys haven't played enough minutes though. Or haven't played enough games.
I mean that could definitely hurt him.
So I'm going to say I think Randle's a second team. I don't necessarily know who's going to go ahead of him, but I think he's a second team. I just that's how I feel.
Okay.
I don't think people are going to because they're a fourth seed team. I don't know. I think Giannis is definitely in there.
Giannis gets it for sure. Then the question is, I think it's between those three guys. I think it's Julius Randle, it's Paul George, it's Kawhi Leonard. One of those are your four. Those are your forwards. Nobody else. Durant missed too many games.
What about Zion?
I mean, if Zion's team was better, I mean, if his team was better, his statistics, again, we've said it every week, but his statistics are absurd. I mean, he's shooting like 63% from the field. He's averaging almost 27 a game. You put the ball in his hands, he's got a way better feel offensively with passing and being able to handle the ball and kind of direct an offense than anybody would have guessed.
He's definitely on an all NBA team, right?
I think he's probably a third team. I think he's probably a third team forward. I would say him and LeBron are probably your third team all NBA forwards. Is way
him and LeBron on the third team. That's pretty awesome. I like that.
That's where I would go. That's where I would go with it. So yeah, look, Randle's been tremendous, and I think that's the difference. When you look at what this Knicks team is compared to what people thought they were going to be, certainly me included.
We didn't have him in the playoffs.
No, absolutely not.
I think I might have had him on the bubble. I might have had him on the bubble, and you definitely had him below the Cavs.
Yeah, I had him down in the 14th or 15th spot. And Randle's been the key because here's a guy who has been, I don't want to say a borderline all-star, but he's been a good player. And he made the leap right past good to having a great season. Now, I don't know if this is who Julius Randle is moving forward or if this is a 1 year catch lightning in a bottle type of thing.
I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that, but certainly for this season, Julius Randle has been phenomenal. And then you look at the rest of the roster, RJ Barrett, who last year, I think most people probably would have said that he was, I don't know, disappointing is maybe too strong of a word, but didn't necessarily live up to what people thought he was going to be. First of all, as a high school player, where he was the number one rated player in the class. And then the year that he had at Duke, and people clearly, he was the third. I mean, nobody had him ranked ahead of Zion and Ja coming out in that draft. But I think people thought that he had the potential to be just a nick below those guys. And last year, he was further back from them in terms of what his development looked like. And this year, he's taken a definite step forward. His shooting's better. His playmaking's better. And is he on a trajectory to be an NBA superstar? Probably not. But can he be a borderline fringe all-star player, make two or three all-star games in his career, and be capable of being the second or maybe at worst the third best player on a really competitive team? I think the answer to that is yes. And if you're New York, that's a win. Then they found quickly with the 25th pick. It looks like they may have, if not whiffed, but at least maybe made a mistake with Obi Toppin at number 8 in the draft, because they really haven't gotten much from him. Who knows? It's kind of early still to write him off, but clearly it doesn't appear like he's going to be somebody that is going to end up being a major, major contributor to a winning team, at least not what we've seen in his rookie year. So the development of Randle is the key for the Knicks. And if he continues to be that guy, now suddenly New York has tons of cap space this summer. Although there really isn't that many big free agents for them to chase, maybe this smarter front office rolls that over. Maybe they sign some guys to one-year contracts to put around Barrett and Randle and the other core pieces that they have. And then you just wait until either the next star becomes available via trade or until you get to free agency. And I know that I've read it multiple places. I know it's something that I think Zach Lowe has said, that you have to be competent as a franchise first in order for people to even think about going there as a free agent. And you look at the Knicks roster now, and if you're a superstar player, you say, hey, they got a good coach. They now have a player who maybe is a notch below superstardom, but we just made the case that Julius Randle might be first team all NBA, which is, you know, which is pretty good. And then RJ Barrett is a guy who's coming and is going to only continue to get better over the next 4 or 5 years. They've got some pieces on their bench, and Mitchell Robinson and Emmanuel Quickley and guys that still have some upside that they can develop. So I think the Knicks are headed in a good direction, as long as they don't do something Knicksy and get in their own way. As long as James Dolan stays out of the mix, then I think this team probably, as surprising as it is to say, I think they have a pretty bright future.
I can't believe we just spent that long talking about lots of positives with the New York Knicks. Can we go back in time a little bit here, Mike? I don't know. I don't know.
Listen, I will tell you this much, Mike. We might be watching Knicks games in the future, and you might be wanting to choose them for some prop bets, Mike, for Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new world of fantasy sports gambling. You select 10 prop bets that each carry a point total based on their likelihood of happening. Use promo code HOOPHEADS when you sign up today, and you will receive an instant deposit match up to $50 on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today. All right, so before we talk about the Atlanta Hawks, let's have a word from our sponsors.
Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit SnapRaise.com, and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time.
All right, we are back, and we are going to talk about the Atlanta Hawks briefly. Like we've kind of alluded to, obviously Nate McMillan has done a great job since he took over. Vance, what was his name?
What was I going to say, Vance? Well, who was the coach before?
Lloyd Pierce.
Vance. I don't know why I was going to say Vance, but Lloyd Pierce was the coach. There was a lot of question marks as to why he was let go.
Obviously, they weren't playing for him. He had lost the locker room. Something had happened. But Nate McMillan seems to have galvanized the team. They're playing pretty well. Obviously, Trae Young's hurt, but it sounds like he's going to come back sooner rather than later. And they're firm, in my opinion, they're pretty firm in their spot too. You know, I think it's a matter of semantics. I think those two teams are going to end up 4-5 unless something really changes. It's going to be the Knicks and the Hawks, and that could be pivotal because, you know, if you're in the 4 seed, that means you get an extra home game. Atlanta Hawks, Mike, what do you have to say about the Atlanta Hawks?
I think what's been interesting is that they've been able to stay afloat even with Trae Young out. And for so long, there was a lot of talk that, you know, this team's completely built around Trae Young. They're kind of catering everything to make sure that he gets his stats and that he's the center of attention. And now the fact that they've been able to win without him, and Bogdanovich has been really good for the Hawks in the absence of Trae Young. And he was hurt through the beginning part of the year, and then he comes back kind of coinciding with when Nate McMillan gets hired. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see how this team develops, not just this year. And I think the playoffs will be good for them. In all honesty, if it is a Hawks-Knicks matchup, I would expect the Knicks to win that series. I'm not sure exactly why I feel that way, but something about Atlanta, I just don't believe in exactly what they're doing. And part of it is the Trae Young piece of it. The fact that they're playing better without him speaks maybe to the construction of their roster and what they've been able to do. Capella's been really good for them. DeAndre Hunter's been out now for, I don't even know, a couple months, although he could be back about the same time Trae Young comes back, maybe as early as the end of this week. And so if they get him back, and you get Trae back and you figure out what that looks like and you put together the things that have been going well for the Hawks when Trae Young has been out, and you got a more egalitarian offensive system where the ball's moving a little bit more and Bogdanovich is such a good cutter off the ball when he gives it up, that maybe if you can continue to convince Trae Young to do those same things, that give the ball up and go and move and do some of that Steph Curry light stuff that he's so good at, moving off the ball and being a threat. Trae Young can obviously not reach the same level as Steph, but he could do some of those same things to kind of bend the defenses.
He could reach the same level as Steph. If you look at what they did tonight, Mike.
Tonight, oh my gosh.
Did you see the Mavericks had a 28-0 run on the Golden State Warriors, Mike?
I mean, I know it was 62-29 at halftime. Now it's 123-87.
Luka had 23 in the third quarter. But let's really quickly, the Mavericks 28-0 run on Golden State. Okay, there's only been one team that has done better than 28-0. Can you guess who it is?
Cleveland Cavaliers.
In what year?
That was against the. It had to be in the game where they beat the Heat by 70 or whatever. I'm guessing.
No.
Different year.
Okay. More recent than that.
Okay, I have no idea, so go ahead and tell me.
2009, Cleveland Cavaliers went on a 29-0 run against the then terrible Milwaukee Bucks.
All right, there you go.
So there you go, fun fact.
I like it.
Thanks ESPN Stats and Info and Elias Sports for that little tidbit. All right, so Hawks, I don't envision them beating the Knicks, but I think that will be a good matchup. And like I said, it would be good for both franchises to have some playoff experience and not have to deal with a play-in game for those
teams.
That'd
be fun to see some different teams.
It would be the most New York Knicks-y thing for them to be in the play-in game and then lose both play-in games and then be out. That would be the most Knicks-y thing to happen, but I don't envision it happening at this point.
It's not ridiculous, though. I mean, they could lose three in a row and immediately be in the 7 seed. So although we're talking about them at the 4 seed, they could very, very easily, they're not that far away from being number 7. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. But I think if you look at the Knicks, I'm pretty sure the Knicks schedule, like they play Chicago and then they play Houston, they play Memphis, they play Denver. Oh, they got a pretty tough They do have a pretty tough schedule, you know, after the you know, I
think this could be totally different. This could be totally different next week. But I think the bottom line is when you talk about, I think at least in terms of the teams, I think that what the Knicks are building for both this year and in the future is a really solid foundation. And even 6 months ago, I don't think anybody was even close to saying that. We were all just slamming the Knicks. So,
okay. Perfect. Anything else? Any other team in the Eastern Conference that we want to spend any time on, or should we move to the West, Mike?
Let's go to the West.
Okay, the West. So currently, as constituted, the Utah Jazz are the only team there that are locked in. They're in the playoffs. They've clinched the playoffs spot. They're the one seed. Phoenix is a game behind them. They're the two seed. Clippers is three. Denver is four. The Lakers are five. Dallas is six. And then the seven is Portland right now. Eight is Memphis, nine is San Antonio, and 10 is Golden State. Now, Mike, I know that you and I have talked, I think in the Western Conference, we've talked a lot more of the top teams, and we haven't really talked about the play-in teams and the borderline play-in teams. So I don't know if that's what you want to talk about.
Yeah, let's start with the play-in teams.
We've talked about Utah, we've talked about Phoenix, we've talked about the Clippers, we've talked about Denver, we've talked about the Lakers, we've even talked about Portland. I think we extend, and we're really going to look at the 6 through 10 teams. Now, We're not quite ready to say that the Pelicans are out, but I think the Pelicans are out, and I think Stan Van Gundy is the worst coach in the NBA.
that was Bill Simmons said that he's got to be the worst coach in the NBA. He's got
three players on his team that like they got to figure it out. Like they got to figure something out. But anyways, let's talk the 6 through 10 teams. So we've got Dallas at 6, Portland at 7, which is a half game. They're a half game behind Dallas. Which that's before the game tonight, so Dallas will go up a spot, go up half a game, so they'll be up a full game. You got Memphis at the 8th spot, you got San Antonio and Golden State the 9 and the 10. So I think what's really, really intriguing is this Portland Memphis thing might happen again, Mike. It may happen again, with not as huge of implications because obviously if they lose, if that's what they ended up doing, then the team that loses will have another shot at getting into the playoffs. But Portland Memphis, a nice little rematch of the last year's play-in game. That would be kind of fun, right? Would you agree with that? It would be kind of fun.
Yeah, that'd be a fun game. Jaren Jackson Jr. is back for the Grizzlies, which is huge. And they have the next whatever 10 or 12 games that they have left to kind of integrate him into what they've done. And that team has been surprisingly feisty all season. And I don't think anybody would have said that without Jaren Jackson Jr. for basically the entire season, that this team would have been kind of at least have a borderline lock on at least getting into the play-in. I think the way it sits now in terms of these teams being in the play-in, I think these are the four teams that are in the play-in. I don't think Portland catches Dallas. Maybe you have some switching of the order, Memphis, San Antonio, Golden State. They're all bunched in there. It seems like Portland, I guess if I was betting, I'd probably bet them to stay in the 7th spot. And then those other three teams, who knows? So there's some interesting scenarios here, clearly, that when you start looking at
I agree because Dallas has a softball schedule the rest of the way. They've got Detroit, Washington, Sacramento, Miami, Brooklyn. Then they play the Cavs two games in a row. Memphis, New Orleans, Toronto, Minnesota. They've got to have one of the easier schedules the rest of the way. Like when you're looking at it and you're breaking down. Whereas you look at Portland, I think we played them. So they've Memphis, Brooklyn, Boston, Atlanta, Cleveland, Lakers, Houston, San Antonio, Utah, Phoenix, Denver. That last three games is brutal. Utah, Phoenix, Denver. Like, and those teams are all going to probably – Utah and Phoenix are definitely still going to be playing for the one seed in the last few games.
Maybe, I think maybe not. I mean, potentially in the last game it could be sewn up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. but then they're playing Denver the last game. They play Utah, Phoenix, and back-to-back nights, the Trailblazers. So – I think I agree with you. I think Dallas is going to end up in that 6th spot because I just think Portland's schedule is rough the rest of the way. So,
well, in Dallas, I'm looking at their record and looking at their schedule. And do you know their last two losses were both to Sacramento? So they lost last night or two nights ago. I can't remember. I think it was last night. They lost to Sacramento. That was a huge loss combined with the Lakers win that really, I think, cemented Dallas in the sixth spot and probably the Lakers in the fifth spot. It still could change, but it made it a lot less likely.
Well, listen, I know you didn't listen to the Ringer NBA show today, but there was a very interesting Utah Jazz fact. Do you know the Utah Jazz fact I'm about to say?
I have
the
no
Utah
idea.
Jazz are 44-14 against the rest of the NBA. They're 0-3 against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I did hear that somewhere. Maybe Zach.
The Minnesota Timberwolves have 18 victories, and three of them are against the current number one seed in the NBA.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very strange.
That's bizarro land. That's what that is.
Very
strange. Bizarro.
All right, so let's go at this way. Let's assume that the way it sits right now is the way that it's going to play out. So Portland, Memphis, San Antonio, Golden State are the two playing games. The 9-10.
Yawn.
Is anybody picking the Spurs to win that game?
I mean, I don't think so. Do I think they could win?
Yeah,
I think so.
Right, they could win it, but nobody wants to see San Antonio win that game. Everybody wants
to see
Golden State.
No one wants to see DeMar DeRozan pull up for an elbow jumper.
Nobody wants to see that. Everybody wants to see Steph and the Warriors win that game. So, I mean, I think that it's interesting. That game would obviously be interesting because of Steph. And then you go to the next game. Whoever would win that Portland-Memphis series gets the seventh seed. And then the team that loses will be left to play against Steph. No matter whether that was Portland or Memphis, that would be an entertaining game. That might be the most fun game of...
I think Portland Golden State would be the most entertaining, primarily because
You'd have Dame and Steph going head to head.
Yeah,
which would be fun.
It would be fun, but it would also be sad to see them both. I think my preference is how would the playoffs shake out? I would probably prefer Portland and Golden State be the two teams that make it out of that play-in game for interesting first rounds, because I think Golden State Utah could possibly be somewhat intriguing.
All right, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it this way. Of the realistic options for teams to play against, let's kind of work our way from one down to six in terms of who these teams might want to play, who they want to avoid. So if you're Utah, who do you want out of those four teams?
San Antonio.
Who do you want to see? You want to see San Antonio.
Right?
You want to see San Antonio or Memphis, right? I mean,
yeah.
San Antonio probably number one. Although, you got Popovich. You've got sort of the Spurs system versus Memphis is a young team. I could maybe make a case that you wouldn't mind seeing the Memphis Grizzlies there, but I think you're probably right. I think if you're Utah, the team you want to see is San Antonio. The team you don't want to see... is the Golden State Warriors?
Golden State,
probably.
For sure. Golden State,
just because
you
don't want to chase. You don't want to chase Steph around for even if it's four games, and the way he's scoring and what he's doing right now, is he good enough to carry Golden State past the Utah Jazz? I don't think so, but it certainly could make for a more competitive series than it might look like when you're thinking about a one versus what Golden State potentially could be the 10 seed going against Utah. So I agree. I think they want to get the Spurs. All right, if you're the Suns, who do you hope lands in that seventh spot? Which obviously it's going to be Portland.
You
probably
want to be Memphis. You want Memphis,
right?
You want Memphis, right?
I agree.
You don't want Portland.
Yep. I agree. I think you don't want to see Dame and CJ. You don't want to have to chase those two guys around.
And Melo, come on.
You got Nurk back. I mean, the Blazers are kind of interesting because they're 3-7, and yet it feels like they're starting to get their team back together. Maybe it's just some growing pains, and maybe they're a group that'll put it together come playoff time. Who knows? Do they have a run in them? I'm kind of dubious about it, but I'm not sure I'd be excited to see them if I was the Phoenix Suns. I think I'd much rather see the inexperienced Memphis Grizzlies than see Dame and CJ across the half court line against me. All right, the Clippers. So if you're the Clippers, you clearly don't want to see Luka. I mean,
well. Yeah. You would probably. I mean, but here's the question: Do you want to see Luka and the rest of his team, which has been remarkably like there's lots of rumors going around with Kristaps and Luka here's the question. It's basically down to two teams. Would you rather see Luka and his band of merry men, or would you rather see Portland? I think I would rather see Luka, to be honest with you, because I think the supporting cast comparatively to Portland isn't as scary, and they don't have any experience. Maybe I'm crazy.
I think you're crazy. I'd rather see Portland if I'm the Clippers.
Okay.
I just think Luka, what he did last year with the Clippers, and I know he didn't beat the Clippers, but he certainly showed that the Clippers are not going to be able to really slow him down very much. And if he gets some contributions from his other guys, don't forget that series looked really, really competitive before Porzingis went down. And I know Porzingis has his faults, but the reality is he's a good player. And if he's available and Dwight Powell's starting to come around, it seems like he's getting back maybe to his pre-Achilles tear self to some degree. And Dallas has had a lot of issues from the beginning of the year with COVID and injuries, and just if they can kind of get their roster together, it feels like they're
and JJ Redick's actually playing now. So
yeah, it feels like they're on the verge of maybe putting something together. I don't think Dallas, like I said, I think the loss last night to Sacramento combined with the Lakers win, could they still catch the Lakers? Sure, especially if LeBron doesn't return until the very, very end of the regular season, or maybe he waits to the postseason, who knows. I don't think Dallas has enough to catch the Lakers for the 5 seed, but I also think that they have enough to – I think they're going to hold off Portland. They're going to end up being the 6. Does Dallas – if you're Dallas, do you benefit from moving up to 5 and playing the Nuggets as opposed to playing the Clippers? What's your thought on that? If you're Dallas, I mean, would you rather play the Clippers, or would you rather play the Nuggets?
I think you would, but I don't think that you're going to be able to catch the Lakers. I think it's too late in the game for that. Looking at the Lakers schedule, I don't think there's any chance that they pass the Lakers.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters, to be honest with you. I think
it's your you know, do you want the bigger question, like if you get up there and you play Denver? My question would be, okay, yeah, the Denver's shorthanded. And I don't know, you know, how they would, but who's guarding Jokic if I'm the Dallas Mavericks? I don't know. But once again, I don't know. There's going to be all these anomalies, and I don't think if I'm Dallas, I'd rather play the Clippers than Denver, quite frankly, because I think the Clippers have proven time and time again they can't be trusted in the playoffs. Whereas, you know, Denver has that. They got Jokic, okay? They got a guy who's dominated. All his playoff stats have been good. And yes, Mike, I agree with you. I think he's wrapped up the MVP at this point. I don't know if you were going to get there or not.
Absolutely.
So I don't think there's any. He's wrapped
it up.
It's locked.
Unless he gets injured in the next game and misses the last 12 games of the season, I think it's a lock, which is interesting because it's almost become a lock by default with guys dropping off because of injuries. And yet if we go back 2 months ago or 6 weeks ago, the conversation was completely different. The conversation was, oh my gosh, we have so many candidates that are quality candidates. How are we ever going to eliminate any of them? And the reality is that they all kind of eliminated themselves.
It all took care of itself, right?
It all took care of itself because guys got hurt. And look, Jokic is clearly a deserving MVP. And he's averaging 26 a game, 11 rebounds, almost 9 assists. The guy's just a next-level passer, and he's clutch. He doesn't look like a guy that should be able to get you a bucket anytime he wants to, but the reality is he is that guy. And so I think that he clearly is the MVP, and I don't know that anybody else can really make a compelling case. I think the only guy really from if you didn't have the previous two MVPs, I think if this was Giannis's first year at this level, I think Giannis would probably have a decent case to be neck and neck with Jokic. But being that it's his third year, people are, you know, in show me mode with Giannis when it comes to the playoffs and where he's at. So Giannis is not winning another MVP until he wins an NBA Finals. Let's put it that way. Or at least he comes through big in the playoffs. So yeah, I think Jokic is the guy as the MVP. Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com/teampricing to learn more. That's ARYSE.com. If you're Denver, who do you want to play?
Are the Lakers are an option?
Right. Would you obviously.
Because you don't know I would say if I'm Denver, I probably want to play the Lakers because who knows what version of the Lakers are showing up. I mean, that's probably as crazy as that may be.
Or do you want to see Dallas? I mean, those are your two teams. Those are the two teams that are.
I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, do I want a healthy Luka going nuts on me, or do I want the Lakers? Who knows what team now? I know Davis is playing. He played the other night. I heard somewhere that LeBron may be coming back at the end of this week, the beginning of next week, but they kind of haven't formally said anything. I don't remember who I heard that from or where I saw that, but you know, he's been doing on court stuff because there was a video of him working out. You know, I think they were in Orlando the other night, and he was using facility in Orlando to do some. Was it Orlando? Yeah, they were in Orlando yesterday, and I know that he used a high school facility for a workout. I don't necessarily know why he went to a high school facility for a workout, but he thanked them on Twitter. At least he was thanking them on Twitter and not putting anything else out in the Twitter sphere. But anyways, I think he's coming back sooner rather than later. Looking at their next opponents, they're playing Washington and Sacramento, Toronto. I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron comes back Monday next week against Denver. That would be the game that I'm gonna circle that on my schedule, Mike. I think he's coming back that game. Okay. It's inconsequential. They're not going to play him in a back-to-back his first game. They play at home on Sunday against Toronto. That game they should win without him. And I think they're going to go because they've got Denver and then they've got the Clippers, Portland, Phoenix. That's the four-game stretch right there. I think he comes back for the game on next Monday. That's my prediction, Mike.
All right.
But I would probably right now, if I'm Denver, I'd probably rather play the Lakers because I don't know how healthy they are. Now, could I completely change course and reverse pivot on that? I probably will, to be honest with you, because I'm still going to probably pick the Lakers to be in the finals, even though I just said that. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. But
I understand what you're saying. You're looking at it and saying, we don't know what version of the Lakers we're going to see, especially in the first round. If LeBron comes back and he only plays 4 or 5 regular season games, and then you get right into a difficult first round series with Denver, where's LeBron at in terms of, we know that there's nobody out there that's going to, I'm sure, even during this absence, as you just mentioned, that worked harder on their body or staying in shape or doing the best that they can. But the fact remains is LeBron is 35 years old and coming back from an injury that, again, is easy to re-aggravate, and potentially the Lakers might have some issues with just incorporating all the new guys that they have and getting them acclimated to playoff basketball and what that feels like. So maybe if you're going to catch the Lakers, the first round is the place to catch them. All that being said, I still think if I'm Denver, I'd probably rather play Dallas just because LeBron being LeBron, I still think I'd rather look at the Mavericks and rather than take my chances with the fact that the Lakers are going to be compromised in some way. And then if you're the Lakers, I mean, I don't know. I think if you're the Lakers, you probably don't care who you play, right? I mean, you don't care if you get Denver, the Clippers, or the Mavs.
You think you can beat anyone even if you're somewhat compromised because you're the Lakers. So,
I think Dallas would be happy to play the Clippers.
100%.
Maybe they would want to play Denver, but as you said, who matches up with Jokic on the Mavericks? I'm not sure. Boban? I don't know.
Well, he got a flagrant 2 tonight.
There you go. So I think if you're Dallas, I think you're definitely not scared of the Clippers, and you wouldn't mind seeing them in that first round series. So it makes for a lot of compelling, and there's going to be a lot of changes in this between now and when the regular season actually ends. And then once the playoff matchups are set, there's going to be a lot of really good, really interesting series for us to check out, especially in that first round. And the play-in, I'm all for it. It's going to be fun to see those games, which is going to add a new wrinkle to this playoff season, just like it did last season. And then once we get to the actual quote-unquote first round of the playoffs, you're going to have some really, really compelling matchups. And I think especially in the Western Conference, you're going to have I think all the series, even the 1-8, if it's Utah Golden State, I think every one of those series has the potential of being a fun competitive series. That's not to say that the underdog can win them all. I don't know that whoever our 7 and 8 seeds end up being can beat the 1 and 2. But again, I'm not convinced that the 1 and 2 seeds in the West are the two best teams. Utah and Phoenix are not. They're probably not the two teams I might be more scared of the other four teams, Clippers, Nuggets, Lakers, and Mavericks. I might put them ahead of the Jazz and the Suns in terms of the likelihood, I think, of them getting to the NBA Finals, which is kind of topsy-turvy and doesn't really make a whole lot of sense based on what they've done over the regular season. I mean,
they've got a track record. They've got a proven
So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out in the Western Conference, especially in the East. I think it's more of a foregone conclusion versus in the West. You could tell me that any of those teams makes the Western Conference Finals. For sure, any of the top six make the Western Conference Finals, and I would not be at all surprised in any way, shape, or form. Whereas in the East, if it's anybody besides Brooklyn, Philly, or Milwaukee, some combination of those three teams in the Eastern Conference Finals, I'll be completely stunned.
Will you eat a hat?
Will I eat a hat? Probably not.
No, you probably wouldn't do that. Not. You wouldn't be that stunned.
No, I'd be stunned.
You're not really willing to eat a hat if you were wrong on that. That's my question.
If it's a chocolate hat, I'll eat. If it's a chocolate hat,
chocolate
I'll eat
it. Chocolate hat, tasty.
There you go. Sounds good.
All right, enough. So I think we've gotten to that point, Mike. We want to make our predictions?
Let's make the predictions. Let's wrap it up and see where we're at.
I'm staying the same. I'm staying the course. I'm going to say Nets Lakers until I know the situation is dire for either of those two teams. I am not what I saw on the floor from both teams when they were at relatively full strength, and I know the Nets haven't been at full strength nearly as much as I probably would like them to be for me to make this prediction. I just don't feel like there's a team in the East that can beat them if they're at full state. So I'm going to stick with my prediction, and I'm going to stay in the course for now. I know that's pretty vanilla and pretty boring, but there's nothing has happened in the last week to make me change my mind. So if nothing's happened in the last week to make me change my mind, I'm not going to change my mind just about yet. What do you think, Mike?
I'm going to say the same thing. I'm going to go with my two teams that I had in there last week, which are the Bucks and the Nuggets. And I know the Nuggets without Jamal Murray are compromised and they're not as good. But as we talked about a lot last week, I don't really trust any of these teams in the Western Conference. I think they're all good teams, but I think they each have what potentially could be a fatal flaw or flaws. And when every team is flawed, I don't know. I just think Denver, Jokic is going to win the MVP. Michael Porter Jr. just plays better and better and better every game. And I'll be interested to see if Denver can pull it off. Obviously, Will Barton went down with an injury too, which hurts them even further. But right now, I'm just going to continue to believe in the wizardry of Nikola Jokic, and I'll stick with my Nuggets Bucks prediction for this at this point.
All right. Well, I don't have anything else to add. We'll kind of just see what happens over the next week, and we'll be back next week.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you to everyone for sticking with us tonight. We appreciate it. Make sure you check out all of our other podcasts on the Hoopheads Pod Network. If you're a fan of an NBA team, we've got a lot of the NBA team pods that you can check out. Our latest one is Lakers Fast Break, so make sure you check that one out. Brand new to the Hoopheads Pod Network. And then, of course, our coaching focus podcast. Be sure to check those out as well if you are a basketball coach at any level. And then last thing, just a reminder that here on the Hoopheads podcast, we have started our year-long series following Coach Dwayne Killings at the University at Albany and the Great Danes basketball program. Dwayne came over from Marquette as an assistant, and we are going to be following him throughout the entire year to get a feel for what it's like to be a first-time head coach at the Division I level. Our first episode with Dwayne, part one, aired, a couple weeks ago, and Dwayne talked about taking the job and the decision to leave Marquette and why Albany ended up being a perfect place for him to land and get his first head coaching job. And then earlier this week, we released an episode with him and his wife, Anna, talking about the decision and kind of what they talked about behind closed doors when they were
cooking dinner
and time. And just, it was a really, I think, interesting episode that looked at the sort of the side of coaching that we don't always see, which is what goes on with your family and the time away and how you have to make sacrifices and how your family has to sacrifice and yet how you try to incorporate them. So there's a lot of great things for coaches to listen to in that episode. And then coming up tomorrow, we're taping another new episode with the athletic director and associate athletic director at the University at Albany. And they're going to talk about the process that they went through on their end hiring Dwayne. And so I'm anxious to be able to pick their brains about what that process looks like, how you go about conducting a search for a coach, what you're looking for, how you make those decisions. And that should be a really interesting episode as well, which will be coming out sometime next week for everybody to listen to. So a lot of great stuff coming up on the network. Make sure you check it out. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.